Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at susannasecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, secret.com. S-U-S.
Listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Asian Hostage.
Welcome to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show, everybody. This is Mike. Let's do a quick intro for V tonight. We're going to rejoin Clay Clark's Reawaken America tour from Phoenix, Arizona. And we'll be picking it up where he left off last week. So here we go.
What they did was they argued that this was, in fact, a vaccine. It's not a vaccine. Spike protein currently injected into people meets the definitions of a bioweapon. It is not a vaccine. It is a toxin known to harm humans. And did they have the courage to say that when they were in front of the Supreme Court? No. Did any attorney general have the courage to say that in any brief? No. But here's a bummer, people. You know what a bummer is? While the rest of us were stocking our stuffings and doing all of our Christmas decorations and whatnot, I want to tell you what I was doing. What I was doing was I was writing a document that you can now find on the Supreme Court's own website. Because yours truly actually wasn't going to spend Christmas letting justice be something for somebody else to do. Yours truly wrote the following. And this, by the way, is now on the Supreme Court's own website. It is the consensus of the medical community that the currently available COVID, quote, vaccine injections, heretofore now referenced as COVID-19 injections, because it's not a vaccine, do not prevent the spread of COVID-19. Relevant federal agencies have repeatedly acknowledged this consensus. Therefore, there is no scientific or legal justification for the Occupational Health and Safety Administration, OSHA, to segregate injected and uninjected people. Indeed, since COVID-19 injections do not confer immunity upon recipients, but are claimed to merely reduce symptoms of the disease, they do not fall within the long-established definition of vaccine at all. That, people, is on the Supreme Court's own website. That's because I wasn't stuffing my face with figgy pudding. I was fighting for America. I was fighting for the future of humanity. And that's what all of us could be doing, because that's, in fact, what somebody should have done when this guy named King Herod decided to kill all the babies. But you know what? They were busy eating figgy pudding. Don't let that happen on your watch. Do not let that happen on your watch. Because we can talk about that story as an interesting historical anecdote. But you know what? Anybody who decides to kill children has crossed a line from which redemption is only one day going to be in the hands of a final judgment, because I can guarantee you on my watch, I will not forgive the death of children when you know you are doing it. Because that is never, ever, ever, ever justified. By the way, every attorney general had access to this document on the 29th of December. None of them read it. Every solicitor general had access to this document on the 29th of December. None of them read it. And the reason why the Supreme Court decision split 6-3 on OSHA and split 5-4 on CMS is going to send our doctors and our nurses to their death is because none of the attorneys general and none of the solicitors general had the courage to read a document that they had a week ahead of time to prepare themselves to actually make humanity hate. I wish I wasn't the bearer of that bad news. But now you're accountable to hold them accountable. We cannot sit in silence and pretend that it's a they out there that are too powerful and too remote and too inaccessible and we can't get to them. We have to get to a place where we realize that we have been entrusted with much, and even more is required. So do more. Next slide. You know, I can't leave a stage without having this slide. And that's because one of you might not have seen it yet. And if there's one of you that hasn't seen it yet, I want you to see it. This slide, my all-time favorite slide, this is the quote published in February of 2016 from Peter Daszak in 2015. And why don't we actually just spend a little bit of time visiting this? Until an infectious disease crisis is very real and present, and at emergency threshold, it is often largely ignored. To sustain the funding beyond the crisis, we need to increase the public understanding for the need for medical countermeasures such as pan-influenza or pan-coronavirus vaccine. Pause for one moment. This statement was made in 2015. Coronavirus had been declared eradicated by the World Health Organization. So why in 2015 would Peter Daszak say that we need to create a coronavirus pandemic to get the public to accept a coronavirus vaccine for a disease that had been declared eradicated 2 years earlier? It is because this was a felony domestic terrorism campaign so that the pharmaceutical companies could, with impunity, unleash genocide on humanity. And that's the reason why he went on to say, a key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. Do you hear what he's saying in public at the National Academy of Sciences? The economics will follow the hype. Does that sound like public health to you? No, it's genocide. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will follow if they see profit at the end of the process. And by the way, it's bad enough that he said that out loud. It's worse that the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences published it. And to date, not one person has introduced this as evidence. Not one AG, not one U.S. attorney, not one elected official. And now I'm going to deliver the mother load, because I've made a commitment every time I stand on a stage to do something where people go, I didn't expect that, which is the next slide. You've heard me say that I despise Rand Paul. And there's a reason why I do. I despise him for the same reason I despise Moderna and Pfizer. Because if you're part of the wrong team, I don't care what suit you wear and I don't care what title you have. If you're part of the wrong team, you're part of the wrong team. And Rand Paul's on the wrong team. Because every time he has Fauci allegedly on the ropes for the wonderful theater of the hearings that they have, he fails to deliver the two documents that now are on the screen uncomfortably in front of all of you, which to date, no one else has ever seen. This is a world premiere of this information. Why not do it at Clay Clark's Reawaken America tour? A world premiere. On the left, dated October of 2014, is the letter from NIAID to the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, that actually says that Ralph Baric's SARS coronavirus grant is gain-of-function research. Uh-oh. You mean you just dropped that big stinking ball of cheese right here in the middle of this event? Yeah! Because Rand Paul is too, and by the way, I know I'm in a church, but I'm going to say a bad word, he's too chicken shit to deliver the goods. You don't put Fauci on the ropes and go, hey, did you ever do gain-of-function research? And let him go, well, no, we don't really know what gain-of-function is. Hey, that's your letterhead, you idiot. The date on the letter is October 2014. You told Ralph Baric that the SARS gain-of-function grant that he was working on to weaponize the spike protein was gain-of-function research. It's right there. And by the way, why don't we go ahead and drive the knife in a little further? Let's go ahead and read what it says. The smoking gun, the novel function of this virus is as a secondary outcome of the research to make sure you amplify pathogenesis in vivo. Do you know what that means? That means to make people more sick. That's gain of function. And this is not a close call. They said it. But Dave, that was just one letter, and you're cunning with how you do your investigations. So maybe it's a letter that no one else could find. But why don't we read 2017, the press release from the NIAID and National Institutes of Health when they decided to, that's right, reinstitute gain-of-function research. Their press release from 2017. On the right. And by the way, what specifically was the gain-of-function research that they were specifically saying they were going to specifically reauthorize? It was on the SARS virus. Now, if you're holding that information at a Senate hearing, you literally have that information in your hands, and you create the theater like you're fighting with Anthony Fauci, and you have that piece of information in your possession, and you never deliver the knockout blow, you know what you're doing? You're a traitor. You are a traitor. And it is high time that we, the people, actually call it what it is. This is not some sort of innocent elected official who's doing his best. This is a person who is exploiting this pandemic for personal gain. And I'm going to make a suggestion. Next slide. And by the way, you know what's amazing? I had extra time, and I'm going to give some of my time to Mickey Willis because he's cooler than me. He's got less bow ties, but he's got more kids to throw stuff at you. So the good news is I'm going to give him extra time. What can you do? Here's what you can do. Send the indictments. It's on you to do it now. You can do it at davidmartin.world, attorney general documents. You can do it at timetofreeamerica.com. Go to /Martin, courtesy of Clay Clark. He put all of these documents up on timetofreeamerica.com/Martin. You can go there. And then you can do the thing that really matters. Stop writing checks for campaigns for any office where you do not get in writing from the candidate that they are going to pursue the criminal charges to end this campaign of terror. If your elected officials or your candidates is unwilling to take the pledge to enforce the law, do not write them a check. If we, the people, want to make this work, hit them where it hurts. Because morality has left the building. I've appealed to the goodwill and to the ethics and the values of humanity for a very long time. I've watched billionaires and millionaires come to my events and talk to me about how much they can't wait to help. And to date, not one of them has stood up and done a thing. So now it's on you. Do not write a check until you get a written commitment that the felonies end. And finally, do not stop sharing this information until Azar, Fauci, Barrick, and Daszak are doing the perp walk. You'll know we won when you see them on the walk. Thank you very much. Thank you for all your help. Stay strong.
Now, folks, quick housekeeping note here. I asked Dr. Martin if he would come back and do a part two because some people want to have a deep dive. And so tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., he's going to be doing a deep dive. And I'm telling you, everything is cited, all the patents, all the resources. There's no speculation. It's all fact-driven. Could you just tell us briefly what you're going to be talking about tomorrow at 8 a.m.?
Yeah, tomorrow at 8 a.m., we're going to go through essentially the activation of the army, which is how do we get you all to be able to do recon, intelligence, synthesis, and execution? How do we walk you through the steps that are required so that you become independently capable of actually finding, verifying, and deploying the facts that we have to share? So tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., I'm going to be here. Look forward to seeing a lot of you. Thank you very much. And we got on time.
Ladies and gentlemen, one more time, it's here for Dr. Dave Martin. All right. How many of you have seen the Plandemic series? The Plandemic series? All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our next presenter is the creator, producer, and the director of the Plandemic series, and one of the most prolific creators of socially conscious media on the planet. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand to your feet and greet Mickey Willis. Woo! So this is what the Great Awakening looks like. The Great Reset has been replaced by the Great Awakening, officially. Thank you, Clay. Let's hear for Clay Clark for putting this together and connecting all of us. And once again for David Martin, who is the featured speaker in Plandemic 2, and the incredible Judy Mikovits, who is the featured speaker in Plandemic 1. Let's hear it for those beautiful spirits. I'm really grateful for this tour. It's been an incredible, really profound experience to meet so many like-minded people. And the stuff that has happened as a result of us connecting backstage, I will just tell all of you right now that there is so much progress being made on such a grand level that I don't even have the time to even begin to tell you what's happening, but it's really big, really good stuff. So one thing I, in terms of progress that I wanted to mention is we just had it confirmed 2 weeks ago that Plandemic, our little movie made for about $100,000, is the most seen movie in history. More than Titanic, more than E.T., well over 1 billion, one-eighth of our global population saw that movie. So that's what I'm talking about. We're dropping bombs today. The bombshell, that movie. And that would not be possible. That would not be possible without you. So just take that in for a moment. It's the people who shared the Plandemic series when this thing first broke out. When it first broke out and I had the honor of having a friend.
I know people are paranoid. That was somebody who stepped on a power cord. It wasn't Antifa. Back to Mickey.
Where was I? Where was I? Huh? Oh, thank you. Yes, the most watched. So just consider that for a minute. With all the censorship, with all the trillions of dollars being spent to stop the truth from reaching the people, we bypassed the gatekeepers of free speech because it was decentralized and people-powered. We have the power. Never, never forget that. So the last time I was on stage here at the Reawaken America Tour, I read the intro of my book. And by popular demand, I'm going to do it again. A lot of people asked me to do it again, so I hope you don't mind if you heard it the first time. But we're going to do it again, and this time I have a little different surprise at the end. Sound good? All right. So we have a book called Plandemic. Before I say that, we'll be as soon as this is over, I'll be out signing books. It's right by the exit of this building. Throughout the day and tomorrow, myself, Dr. Zelenko, David Martin, Judy Mikovits will all be there signing together in our booth right by the exit, and I'll be there right after this talk. So I hope to see you there. We have a very big giveaway. We're going to do a raffle, $1,000 giveaway of really cool stuff, including Zelenko's life-saving Z-Stack formula, a year supply. So come and see us in the booth. Without further ado, the intro to Plandemic, Fear is a Virus, Truth is a Cure. I was raised without religion, no church, no Bible, no grace before dinner. Our God was love. Long before I came along, my mother's husband died and left her alone with three small children. Wounded by the loss of the love of her life and in fear of losing her welfare assistance, my mother remained alone. When her three kids were in their preteens and teens, a girlfriend encouraged her to get out of the house. They went to a local nightclub where she met a handsome sailor with piercing blue eyes. One thing led to another, and my mother ended up pregnant. Barely able to feed and care for her three kids, a new baby was the last thing she needed. Unable to bring herself to get an abortion, she did everything possible to induce a miscarriage. But all the horseback riding she could do wasn't enough to stop me from entering this world. Mom was diagnosed with cancer when I was in grade school. She was a survivor in more ways than one. My big brother was diagnosed with AIDS when I was in my teens. He struggled with it for 8 years before a new medicine called AZT brought new hope. Though it appeared to all of us that this new miracle drug was doing more harm than good, the man leading the AIDS epidemic, Dr. Anthony Fauci, promised the world that it was our only hope. My brother's health began to rapidly decline, but every time they turned the channel, there was America's top doctor surrounded by the world's most beloved celebrities, reassuring the world that his protocol was the only solution. Sound familiar? AZT killed my brother on May 23rd, 1994. Unable to live with the guilt of not listening to the warnings, my mother invited the return of her cancer. She died just 34 days later on June 26, 1994. I'd never been through anything like that before. I didn't have the tools to process what I was feeling. I had to get far away from anything that made me remember.
I rented the cheapest hotel room available at the Magic Castle Hotel in Hollywood. I wasn't looking for stardom. I came for family. That's where they are, right? Well, at least that's how it appeared to a kid who was raised on sitcoms. With only $1,100 to my name, I had to take the first job I could find. I worked as a print model for just over 1 year. It was the first time I got to travel. That part I loved. But I rapidly grew disillusioned by the pretentiousness of the industry and began looking for something more real and more meaningful. I became a Hollywood actor. What can I say? I was young and naive. I began auditioning, but just didn't have the skills. My first big break was being invited to study with legendary father of method acting, Sanford Meisner. I couldn't believe it. I was so green. Why did he pick me? It was the biggest accomplishment of my life up until that point. It gave me a confidence that I'd never had. 6 months into training, Sanford, or Sandy as they called him, asked me to remain in the theater as everyone else headed out on break. He had me sit on the edge of the stage, our knees nearly touching as he stared into my eyes. My heart was pounding. I didn't know if he was going to give me the axe or praise my hard work. Speaking through the tracheotomy hole in his neck, he sucked in a gurgling breath, then told me he wanted to have sex with me. I thought it was an exercise. Surely he wasn't serious. He was so old and frail. He had to be testing me. I smiled calmly and I said, "No, thank you." He didn't blink. I continued, "It's not that I have any judgment, it's just that I'm not gay." After a long and intense pause, Sandy finally waved me off with a flip of a hand. I left the theater heavy-headed and confused. When we all returned from break, Sandy directed me to take the stage. I stood there in silence for a moment. Using his cane, he pulled up his dying body to a standing position. He then pointed that furious cane at me and growled, "You don't belong on stage. Get out. Go now." I developed a reading disorder after that, which made my auditions even worse. That was it for me as an actor. As they say, those who can't do, teach. I took a job as a drama coach to toddlers. All right, it was more like daycare, but I loved it. I loved working with the kids. Teaching led to directing one-act theatrical plays. I became the youngest member of the Playwrights Kitchen Ensemble, where I was mentored by legends of stage and screen. Fueled by the love of theater, I went on to build my own playhouse in North Hollywood, where I began honing my writing and directing skills. Eager to get behind a camera, I raised a few $1,000s to create my first micro-budget mockumentary called Shoeshine Boys. To my surprise, that little movie went on to become an underground hit, winning top honors at various film festivals. In 2001, I flew to New York to meet with a potential distributor. I was living the dream. Not only was I in negotiations for the distribution of my first movie, but I was making thousands of dollars a day as a fashion photographer and as a director of Spanish language music videos. But all that changed September 11th, 2001. I was sleeping on a friend's sofa in Midtown the morning the planes hit. My buddy and I went directly to the scene where we remained for 3 days while digging for survivors. This was my wake-up call. While standing on the rubble of the World Trade Center, looking down at scattered body parts, something happened to me. Something mystical. I could feel the eyes of the world focused on that very spot. The planet was shrinking. Nothing was far away. I could literally feel the presence of every living being. I felt our collective pain, our fear, our desire to live and to love.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people.
because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Ballin' is big cause the hustle is hard. The grind is rather huge, so the jealousy's quite large. With credit cards and cash stacks, my mind focused on greenbacks. I go and get it, I don't relax. The player hating is to the max. Cush sacks and powder packs, no time to eat, it's just snacks. That's whiskey shots and cognac, getting huffed up like college frats. No exaggeration, just facts. A fascination with paper stacks and masturbating on boppers' backs. They assassinate my player stats, but game sharp like thumbtacks. I go dumb on horse, they chew me up like Orbit's gum. Swallow ice and eat, go kick rocks and eat crumbs. I run from cops, but bar none. I'm in the streets just like a bum. If you don't like
the moment was shattered by an announcement. Every rescue worker was ordered to turn off the machines, stop, and listen. We were told that the dust we were breathing was laced with extremely deadly toxins. Anyone without a proper respirator was invited to leave the area. Not one man or woman walked away. The announcer made it painfully clear. What you are breathing will eventually kill you. The workers looked around to see if anyone was going to heed that advice. The sound of heavy equipment fired back up, and everyone went back to work. Not a single person left. I stood there, eyes flooding, and I said to myself, this is who we are. This is who we are. Everyone was willing to risk their life at the fading chance of saving one stranger. I'd never witnessed such selflessness. After that, I began to see people in a new and much brighter light. Suddenly, all of my material goals felt trivial. I couldn't imagine returning to Hollywood to do the work I was doing before. How could I direct another commercial to sell a product that poisons our people and our planet? How could I direct another music video that glorified the ego and used women as props? If I was going to continue to work as a filmmaker, it was going to be on my terms. My newfound clarity and commitment to living truthfully prepared me to meet the love of my life. Nadia. Raise your hand, baby. We fell in love in 2003 and we were married in 2009. Nadia went into labor July 2011. Our home birth plan was scrapped due to severe complications. We rushed to the hospital where Nadia would undergo an emergency C-section. After much effort, a tiny purple body was pulled from her belly. No crying, no breathing. The doctors placed our lifeless son on a cold machine and began working frantically to pump life into him. Thankfully, Nadia was unable to see what I could see. She asked, "Is everything okay?" That was the only time that I've ever lied to my wife. "Yes, my love, everything is fine." She smiled, her beautiful dimples popping out. I forced a smile, then returned my eyes to the drama across the room. The machine was now making a sound that I will never forget, the sound of death. The look on the nurse's face said everything. She did her best to give me a reassuring smile, then used her body to block my view as doctors shoved suction devices down my baby's throat. I closed my eyes and I began to pray. Without much experience, I wasn't sure who to address my prayer to. Father, Mother, God, Buddha, Krishna, Christ. With so much at stake, I prayed to them all. I prayed hard. It wasn't working. I began to beg. I made promises to anyone and anything that might be listening. Nadia asked, "Are you sure everything is okay?" I couldn't lie again. I cradled her face in my hands. And then I told her the truth through my eyes. Her voice broke as she asked, "What's wrong? Honey, what's wrong?" Once again, I closed my eyes. This time, I made an offer. "Please, God, let that baby breathe. And I vow to you right here and right now that I will dedicate the rest of my life to this child and to all of your children." At that exact moment, a tiny voice cried out. One of the doctors yelled, "That's what we want to hear. That's what we want to hear, little guy." The machine stopped making that awful sound. The nurse, clearly emotional, smiled big and said, "That's your baby." Nadia echoed, "That's our baby?" I nodded and I said, "That's our baby." We cried together. That was the day I learned to pray. As I write this, I'm fully aware of the risk I'm taking to share a story so personal. I'm aware of the distrust and cynicism that's currently plaguing our nation and our world. I anticipate that some readers will totally miss the point and my intention for sharing. In no way do I see myself as any kind of hero or martyr. I'm not looking for sympathy or praise. I'm not interested in winning anyone's acceptance. I chose to share these stories because I want you to know the truth. I want you to know the real reasons I made the leap from a lucrative and safe career to producing a movie like Plandemic. Through my work as an interviewer, I've learned the importance of listening. We all have a story in us. To listen to each other's stories is to reconnect as humans. Connection is vital. May the stories within in this book leave you more connected with yourself, your loved ones, and all of humanity. I'd like to introduce to you right now my son, Azai, and his little brother, Zuri. This is why we do what we do. 2.2 billion children on this planet. To the perpetrators who dare to harm our children, we're coming for you. Plandemic 3 is about saving our children, and I hope you support us with that. It is about these little guys. They deserve to have the freedoms and the safety that we all had, and they will have it because of you, because of us together. And now my boys would like to say something.
I just wanted to say thank you for everyone that's here, everyone that's watching. I just wanted to say thank you for saving my life. But the times we're doing in this world right now is not okay. And I'm so very, very grateful that your generation is standing up for my generation. Thank you, Phoenix, Arizona. And God bless you all.
God bless you. God wins. Thank you. We got a couple things to throw out to the audience really quick. We got some hats. We have the new Plandemic hat, Waken the Lion hats. Those are all available at our booth. We hope to see you there. Give some over here, guys. Spread the love. Spread the love. We love you guys. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, one more time. Let's hear for Mickey Willis. All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how many of you remember March 2020, the lockdowns? Remember that? How many of you were hoping that you had a pastor that would keep the church open? How many of you had that thought? So my wife and I found ourselves without a church to go during certain Sundays to go to because these churches were shut. So I'm looking for a church to go to, and I found a church in Tulsa, Oklahoma called the Sheridan Church, where there was this young pastor who decided that he's not going to comply and he's not going to shut down his church. Then when these COVID-19 vaccine mandates rolled out, I found this pastor right here in Tulsa, Oklahoma that says, send them to my website. I'll sign all the COVID-19 vaccine religious exemptions. To this date, he has signed over 50,000 COVID-19 vaccine exemptions, and they're actually working. So ladies and gentlemen, please stand to your feet and greet the patriotic pastor who loves this country and loves Jesus more than this country. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand to your feet and greet Pastor Jackson Lohmeyer.
All right. Are you guys having fun at the Reawaken Tour? You're in for a treat tonight. As Clay said, my name is Jackson Lohmeyer. And on the screen, they're going to bring up my family. I've got five amazing, absolutely beautiful kiddos, and you can see them right there. That's my wife, Kendra, with our five kids. And by the way, those are real children. Those are not Photoshopped kids. Those are not paid actors. Those are my kids, and I absolutely, people say, man, you and your wife, you must really love children. You got five kids. And said, well, we like kids. I just really love my wife. Therefore, as a byproduct, we got five kids. Now, our lives changed big time in 2020 when the city of Tulsa threatened to arrest me if I was to do drive-in church in March of 2020. The Tulsa police called me. They said, hey, we just want to let you know the mayor has signed an executive order banning all public gatherings in the city of Tulsa of more than five people. You couldn't have a public gathering of more than five people in the city of Tulsa. Now, that was super problematic for me and my family. I got five kids. You had me and my wife. We're already in violation. I said, all right, thanks for letting me know. If you want to arrest me tomorrow, I will be preaching from the roof of the church. And there's a ladder in the back. You can come. Well, I gathered my church staff that Saturday night, and I said, hey, this is what the police has told us. They're just doing their jobs. They're relaying the message from the mayor's office. But we do not back down to bullies. We will have church tomorrow morning, and if they want to arrest me, they'll come to the roof of this church in order to do it. Well, guess what happened that Sunday morning? Absolutely nothing. It was all bark and no bite. That's how I knew when the mask mandate came down. Oh my goodness, they did not like my church, because at my church, we had a policy when it came to the masks. The policy was called common sense. If you want to wear the mask, feel free to wear the mask. Your favorite Dr. Fauci says it doesn't work, but you can wear the mask. If you don't want to wear the mask,
It's not my job to police grown adults. You can make that decision for yourself. Well, the city of Tulsa, they didn't like that common sense policy. They said, if you don't start enforcing the mask mandate, we'll have to start an investigation into your facility and condemn your facility for health violations because you all are a super spreader in the city of Tulsa. Do you remember that terminology? Super spreaders. Walmart's open 7 days a week. We're opened on Sunday morning at 11 a.m., yet somehow we're the super spreader in the city. So I threatened a lawsuit against the city. I said, if you step foot in the church and you cause any trouble, I'm going to sue the city. And when I win, I'm going to use the money to build a new building. And I'm going to name the new building after Mayor G.T. Bynum so everybody knows who paid for that building. Well, guess what happened? They stopped calling. What's the message? If we fight, we will win. But if we don't fight, we've already lost. You see, we're in a fight today between good and evil. This is not a fight between Republicans and Democrats. This is a fight between good and evil. And whenever you are faced with evil, you cannot purr like nice little kittens. You know what you got to do? You got to roar like some mighty lions. Where are the lions at in Phoenix, Arizona? Where are my lions at? You gotta roar. I believe it's time for the silent majority to become the fighting majority. It's time for the silent majority to become the roaring majority. Because if we will fight, I'm telling you, we will win. In fact, we have to fight. Our country's in so much trouble right now. They stole an election. You're on the verge of hyperinflation. You've had vaccine mandates affect millions of Americans in this country. In fact, back in September, when former Vice President Joe Biden declared war on the American people by saying, you will either take the jab or you will lose your job. Me and my team, we went to work. Now, the rhinos, if you're a rhino, you probably just got triggered right there. Because the rhinos, they say, Jackson, quit calling him former Vice President Joe Biden. Jackson, you better start showing some respect and call him President Joe Biden. My response is simple. Stolen elections do not equate to legitimate presidencies. Therefore, I'm going to refer to him as former Vice President Joe Biden. You should take that and post that later today. Former Vice, you'll trigger some rhinos, I promise you. But we went to work. As Clay mentioned, in 4 months, we have signed over 53,000 COVID-19 religious exemption forms, helping save thousands. Are you one of them? Praise God. Praise. And it worked. It worked. Now listen to me. If you are in a position that your employer is saying you have to take this jab or you're going to lose your job, here's the message. Don't quit your job. Fight. Fight, fight, and fight with a religious exemption form. They work. You can go to my website, jacksonlawmeyer.com, and you can request a form there. You can go to your pastor, have your pastor sign the form. If your pastor does not have the courage or the integrity to sign it, I will sign it for you. But I encourage you to go to your pastor first. In fact, I'm going to be out in the lobby tonight. I'll be signing religious exemption forms. If you need one, I'll be here. I'll sign it for you because I believe we need to fight. And I know we're in trouble, but I want to leave you with this. Although we're in trouble as a country, we are not without hope as a country.
because our hope is not in an elected official. Our hope is not in a political candidate. And our hope is definitely not in the Republican Party. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God is not finished with this country just yet. God's not finished. Now, I know you're cheering right now, but I know in the back of your mind, you're saying, but how's God going to do it? Clay, that's what everybody's wondering. How is God going to do it? Do you want the answer? I have no idea. But here's what I do know. God is going to do it. I know it. God's going to do it. You say, how do you know it? Well, there was this woman one day. She was broke, totally broke, and she went to church Sunday morning. And her pastor preached a sermon on how we serve a God of miracles, and God can do anything. In fact, God will do it. She went home after church, and she started singing and shouting, God's going to do it. God's going to do it. She was broke. She had no groceries. She was believing that when she got home, she would open up the refrigerator, and the refrigerator would be full of groceries. And so she just started saying, God's going to do it. She got home, and she opened up the refrigerator, and guess what she found? Nothing at all. But she didn't get discouraged. You know what she started doing? She started shouting and singing even louder. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. Well, she had a neighbor who was an atheist. And he got annoyed with hearing this crazy woman saying, God's going to do it. So he got a brilliant idea. He decided to go to the grocery store. And he loaded up on groceries, two carts. He came and brought those groceries to her home, put them on the doorstep, knocked on the door, went and hid in the bushes. Well, that woman who had been singing all day, God's gonna do it, opened up the door, and you know what she saw? Two carts worth of groceries on the front porch. She started shouting, God did it! God did it! Oh my goodness! God did it! Well, about that moment, the atheist, he popped out of the bushes. He said, I gotcha. Your God didn't do anything. In fact, I bought these groceries. And here is the receipt to prove it. She looked at that receipt, and she looked at those groceries, and she started shouting even louder, God did it! God did it! Oh, my goodness, God did it! The atheist got so mad. He said, your God didn't do anything. I bought the groceries. Here's the receipt. She looked at the receipt again, and she looked at the groceries, and she started shouting even louder, God did it! God did it! Oh my goodness, God did it! And he made the devil pay for it. Moral of the story. Yeah, listen to this preacher. I don't know how God is going to do it in this country. But here's what I know. God is going to do it. And he's going to make the devil pay for it. You can count on it. Our response, we stay diligent. God is going to do it. Oh, we shout it even louder. God is going to do it. Stay encouraged. Stay encouraged. God bless you guys. Get ready. We're going to have one incredible weekend here in Phoenix. God bless you guys. Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, one more time. Let's hear for Pastor Action Jackson. All right, ladies and gentlemen, our next presenter blows my mind each and every time I hear him speak. He's an outspoken, unashamed pastor and teacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He refuses to bow to the politically correct idols of our culture. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand to your feet and greet Pastor Craig Locke. If you believe we're on the winning side, shout amen, church. Shout hallelujah. You can be seated all over the house. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even, say even, the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every, I said every, that's Republican and Democrat, tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So you hear me and you hear me well. I want to serve notice on you, the left, and the devil himself in this auditorium. You've got a choice to make. America has a choice to make. You can declare Jesus Lord of your life right now because you choose to. Or you can declare Jesus Lord of your life in the day of judgment because you have to. But make no mistake, Jesus Christ is Lord as much as he's ever been Lord. He's still in control no matter what the nonsense is that we see in the media. Speaking of nonsense, CNN's been to our church 7 times in the last 20 months. You'd think after dating that faithfully, we should get married. They've called me the renegade redneck pastor that refused to close down his local church, and he's going to kill everybody in Nashville. Well, we never closed, but we ain't killed nobody yet. But we have baptized 3,000 people in the last 20 months, praise God.
Let me ask you something. When my wife's father has introduced me to stogies, what is she going to say?
Next time, Redfield Hardcore. Keep it real. Take a red pill.
Say hello to my little friend.
Conan, what is best in life? Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of your women. That is good. That is good.
Tune in next time to Redfield Hardcore. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
True winner.
And I get the green light from Mom.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.